first up for the night, so we're just getting set up. So yeah, that's our space.
Hey.
Oh, hey, man. How are you?
Wow. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. This is sick.
It's nice, right?
Yeah,
really nice. Nice. You've done a fantastic job putting it all together.
How come you put your flyer on your show scenes?
So we've got the two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the other flyer.
Yeah.
Is this you two?
Yes, it's me too. Plus, people want to.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun.
I like how you got two, Yeah.
All the time.
Hey,
Rick. Hey,
how are you?
Yeah, I'm Rob. Yeah.
I think we really do.
Yeah,
who's
the red one?
So it should be, that's number two you got there. It should be one, two, three, four across the stage, so.
Yeah, that's right. Got one. I can speak up properly. I was speaking low.
You were very low.
Yeah.
That's all right. As long as we know it's live, we can dial in when you start. So yeah. All right. Try number two.
Is it? Oh, there he is. And run up to the stage.
Ladybugs
everywhere. Mr. Ladybug.
It's live.
Yeah.
There were
that's
good.
Yeah. Sweet.
Should be number three.
Got to put our voice out of three. Looking good, sounding good, feeling fresh.
That's alive, excellent.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
it all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Testies, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Oh god. What up?
No, but they love to like.
Everything's alive. We can dial it in once you.
You are wonderful.
As always, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
the
real good.
But then
again, never.
What a ticket.
Us. Oh, wait.
I really don't understand at all
She goes to me and then.
I know there is a switched on guy. That's fairly
wrong
either, actually.
Wait, does
it
look
like from
the sea? She raised me from the sea.
It's not that I don't care, I just don't know.
Oh man.
I never even thought about that. I
itself and you can greet people for like
absolutely
5 minutes while I run across the road and get some ice?
Absolutely.
It's my last opportunity.
You can go all night.
Hmm?
It's like the ice will keep you going all night.
Yeah, I've only just got to go to Frank's. So.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a fancy little screen.
Yeah. going to do community recommendations. So everyone performing tonight will be doing a show. I've seen you perform before.
Yeah.
So I have no hesitation to make a good recommendation.
Awesome. I'm just that
that's fine. There's no running narrative that people will have to catch up on.
Yes. That's always good.
Yeah.
I've always come into the podcast, I can't wait for it.
Right. Serialized.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
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 It'll
be a big turn off.
Yes.
I wanted to get into podcasts. I haven't listened to them.
Yeah.
Once I've listened to other people who have listened to this one, they've sat me down.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
that's quite forceful.
Or been like in the car,
yeah.
And they've been like, we're listening to this.
Yeah. See, there's some good ones. There's none that I like. Same with TV though. Like, there's nothing that I would say.
Sit down, we're doing this now.
I feel like it's cool enough. But I can say,
what's your favorite podcast?
I've been listening to a lot of. It took me a while to find the rhythm, but I've listened to a lot of Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh my god, I said that recently. That's
yeah.
My favorite.
It's a good choice.
Yes.
I don't know what to describe. What is it?
So Scott Ackerman's the host.
Yeah.
And he. It's basically mock podcasts. It's quite meta, because they'll get a guest in. First half an hour, they'll do a regular interview with the guest. And then the other guests for the show, and there's usually two more, will both come in character. And they'll pretend to be whatever. So they've had like Santa Claus as a guest, and they've had Santa Claus as a product, people come in and be really obscure characters. And then they all interact with each other over the course of an hour.
You reckon most of the podcasts you listen to are about comedy?
No, I listen to Cracked, and even though it's a comedy podcast, the topics are always like, science, they've read some sort of article, and they're expanding on it, or they've got someone out who is an expert in the field, and I'll interview them. Brian Callen has a lot of interesting interviews, all sorts of things growing up, he's a comedian, but he interviews.
But do you listen to any podcasts that wouldn't be related to comedy in any way?
Yeah, I forgot. There's a few in there. There's like a business podcast that I listen to that's about financial handling.
What?
Yeah, they
listen to that.
Because they talk to interesting people. They're like, the first episode they talk to a basketballer. And they're like,
yeah.
Tell us about getting the money, like proper money for the first time.
What do you do for a job?
I work at Loon Pass and as like a
do you listen to the podcast there?
On the way to
work,
on the way home.
How do you
feel
about
walk?
Public transport. How many hours of podcast do people listen to in one day? On average.
I try not to do too many, but like I go for walks and I commute, so it's like an hour of commute both ways.
Yeah.
Depending on the podcast, that could be one up and one back.
Yeah.
I listen to ones about language like, for about half an hour, and so those are good for a lunch break.
Hello,
it's Rego. I'm a student. You on robotics?
Math.
No.
Math.
Come on, guys. We can help you out. So, just what is?
Yeah.
So it's 15 hours each.
Okay.
I thought they can, but I'm a minute ahead.
Oh.
I'm just. there's going to be back to it. Okay. Back to it. So take a seat.
Yeah.
Take a seat. Come
on.
I'm very trained. He's like, look, what's the big drive? And this is when everyone's coming to my team.
Hold on.
I know the ones about language, because I'm quite interested in language. I don't want to do a show next year.
So only about 2-3 hours a day podcasting, which might just be.
Yeah, maybe. If I'm like, I've got some free time.
Would it shock you if I told you I listened to 8 hours of podcasts?
Wow. Not a shock, but you're at work. With your job, I can understand how that works.
Yeah.
If I've got a
job,
window clean.
Okay, now makes sense.
The whole day
I would do the same thing. I'll do the exact same thing. If I'm in the Circus of Screams, which is an attraction they've got, I'm sitting in the back.
That is one of the
I just put headphones
sentences.
In.
Yeah.
So seriously. Like, if I need a circle of screens.
So
yeah.
So
good.
I'm going to stand up. I'm going to They raid cash.
It was raised by Sissy. Yeah. She read it, and she obviously she plays Carrie. So it's real funny because she has to play all the other characters in the reading of the book. So she has to play like the Travolta role, which is it's real good. It's pretty much to be like, when she's scary, she's nailing.
Yeah,
she's Travolta. You're like, it's like a book reading of like that Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah.
I spent 2 hours on this. Sorry, that's not
gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome to stage the host of the Just for Funny podcast, Mr. Matt Harvey and Marty Adder. Because the other light leads, don't go backstage. How are we doing, guys? Not very excited, but that's alright, a moderate level of excitement for a rainy day. I don't blame you. Thank you all for coming out. It's horrible out there, although you probably would have been blindsided by that, like the rest of us. Probably went out for a nice lunch, were ambushed by some rain. It's a horrible way to start the day. But thank you for sticking with us and coming out. Really appreciate all of you coming around. You probably don't exactly know what you're here for, and that's fine.
Nor do I.
It's all right, nor do I. This is just really a fun little showcase / podcast that we've collected some comedians who we like and we are recommending them to you. They've all got shows in the festival, so at the end of the show, if you feel like someone was really quite charming and you'd like to see more of them, look them up or get in touch with them. They're all online, they're all accessible. Yeah, no one's not accessible, especially if they're in this business. And please do go see their shows. We'll give you all the details for their shows. And just at the end, there'll be some quick little games, and one of you will walk away with some tickets to shows. So that's kind of exciting. That's an incentive to bring friends, right? Yeah.
Or at least stay till the end of the show.
There's no reason to leave. There's no reason to leave. So that should be fun. It's going to be a good one. We've had a good run so far, and I'm looking forward to it continuing. And that's entirely on us. There's no pressure on you guys to do anything except enjoy yourselves. We might roll straight into it. We've got three guests tonight, and each of them has a really interesting sounding show, so we want to have as much time sort of chatting with them as possible so they can warm your hearts with their showbiz quirks. All right, let's get started. I don't know what I'm saying either. It's fine. It's fine. The first guest we've got tonight is doing a show here in this very venue, in the Tickle Pit, at 6 p.m. tonight, and he's got a bit more of a run, but we'll go through that later. Please welcome to the stage our good friend, Mr. Matthew Vasquez.
Cool, thanks. Thanks for picking this mic. I prefer this mic, actually. Cool. Thanks for coming, everyone. Really appreciate it. Even though it's not my show, so I appreciate it. What do you do? Sick. Ah, oh, cool. Nice. Like, big numbers or like letters and numbers? I don't know.
More letters.
More letters. Yeah. Cool. I'm not good. I'm kind of good at maths, but not really. Like, I'm doing like economics in uni now, and I don't get it. I don't get it at all. We should talk afterwards. You can help me. Please help me. Fuck no! Don't help me at all. I'll just try and barely pass, which I've been doing until this point. If you lower your prices to like mates rates, which is like we'll become mates by the end of this, I can feel it. What are mates rates to you?
Very good quality.
I assume so.
It's like three from someone who doesn't.
I might go for it. I might. Yeah. Depending if I make any money from the festival or not, I might go for it.
I don't do credit.
Is there anybody else like a mathematician here that goes for like cheaper prices? I'll try. I'll figure something out. I'll pass. I always do in the end. Cool. Thanks for coming. What do you do?
I do theater.
Sick.
Director.
Ah, okay, cool.
Writer.
Actor?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
If I really need it.
Okay, are you ever needed?
No.
Okay, that's... I'm sorry. what is your name?
My name's Blair.
Cool, sick name.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice glasses. I hope you become needed in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, I really hope you do. I like you. Yeah. Are you good with maths?
Let's say no.
Okay, good. Still searching, still searching. You two dudes, what are you up to? With life?
Life?
And your names, what do you do?
I'm a builder.
Cool.
Yeah, so I can't really help you with that.
Yeah, you could build something for me, I don't know. What's your name?
AK.
Sick. That's a cool name. Should call his name here, and really simple as well. So I like that. What's your mate's name?
Lee.
Even as simple, but not as cool. Yeah. Yeah, cool. What do you do, Lee?
I work in life insurance.
Ah, sick. If I wanted life insurance, I would talk to you, or like, do you claim the life? Like,
I do claims.
Do claims, okay. So if I took life insurance out of my brother and he died, you would try to prove it that...
Or knock it back.
Knock it back. Yeah, cool. Do you ever knock it back?
Occasionally.
For what reasons?
It's not necessarily death. It might be disabled
disability. It's not really disabled?
Might be fraudulent.
Fraudulent. Cool. Nice. I won't cross you then. I'll just tell you like a quick joke. Yeah. I got interviewed the other day. I did.
Yeah.
Woo.
Can I tell you?
Police. big massive tits and everything there, don't you? Oh, no. Yeah, it was for nothing good. Not the police, the good guys. Yeah, there was like these uni students for the Spanish project. They had him to be somebody Hispanic. Hispanic. It's a reason to look like this. Conventionally attractive, but not actually attractive. Thanks, guys. I know I'm not one of those like sexy Hispanic people. I'm like one of those Hispanic people you see on a documentary that's like, yeah, the dictatorship was hard on my family. Very true. Yeah. And the interviews were like the Hispanic immigrant experience. I was born here because of the dictatorship. Not a good thing. Are you pro-dictatorship, mathematician?
No.
Good. I see you could have been. Look like the type. Yeah. Sorry. The rate is way too high. Yeah. And it's not like the worst part. The worst part is I could barely speak Spanish. Like, what's the time in Spanish is que hora es. But I would say it as que es hora, which translates to what is time? And I used to walk around and ask people, what is time? Like, oh, look at this little philosopher. Oh, he's an idiot. It's 5:30, do you understand? And I just want to say, like, I didn't understand. What is time? You're having fun, all right, everyone? Woo! I expect, like, an applause break. Something, at least a couple claps. Gave me nothing at all. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm trying to get better at Spanish. I'm learning Spanish at uni now. Because I can kind of speak Spanish, I had to take this placement test to judge what level I was at. And I've been doing this like my entire life. So I was going in kind of confidently. I was like, I'll probably get to level 4. But if I do get to level 3, I'll just tell everybody I didn't try. And on the day of the test, I buzzed in. And the teacher picked me up and we'll just walk into her office and we'll just chat to each other in Spanish. She's like, I got great on the test, we'll probably get to level 7. I didn't know that was level 7. And she's like, the test should only take 20 minutes. So I spent like a whole hour on the test because I want to try really hard on it. Because in between, I had this potential, like, I had this moment, I was like, I don't want to do economics anymore. I want to change my major. I want to become a Spanish teacher. So when I handed her the test, I handed her like really confidently, and she grabbed it and looked at it for like 5 seconds, and in English she said, "Level 1 would be good for you," and then sent out a mass email saying, "Level 1 Spanish is for people who don't know anything about Spanish, or can speak Spanish, and still know nothing about Spanish." But in class, this girl said, Spanish is such a sexy language. It isn't. My mom speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
And it's also a language my dad used when he hit me. And at no point did I ever say, keep telling him to be bad, that boy up and daddy. Cool, that's my set. Thanks, everyone.
You best guess. You know, when you come out as a comedian and tell people that you don't really know numbers,
yeah.
That's redundant because you're in comedy. There's no money in comedy.
But I am learning economics, so.
So he knows just how broke he is.
Yeah.
The most important lesson you'll ever learn. Well, let's start off. Tell people about your show.
I'm doing a split show with two other comedians. We're all doing like 20 minutes each of stand-up. And it's been a lot of fun. This last night, I told this old lady she was going to die soon.
That does sound like fun.
And then I said, I want that old puss. I know. Like two people laughed and the rest were like, oh. So
much like.
Yeah.
Very similar response. I don't know if it's the phrase old puss or the idea that you potentially accosted an old lady verbally that is turning
both.
Off. It's both.
Definitely both.
That hasn't solved the show, guys.
thing, maybe if you promise not to say all.
I'll never say that again, except for like right now. Then yeah, I'll never
a,
say
a
it again.
Demonstration of words. You
one more
say. Yeah. I did see the show the other night. I went and checked out Unheard Of, which is the name of the show. Probably one of the most important aspects when plugging in a show.
Yes.
Is to get the name out there, especially when the name is a joke on. No one knows. It's great. He's got two comedians who are with him, Andrew Pacelli and Ben.
So
thank you. Not that great with names, but I remember bits. I remember most comedians by their bits before I really get to know them. I don't know if you find this is the same thing. Maybe you're not as shit a person as I am.
I kind of remember. Like sometimes I mouth the bits with them. I've seen them enough.
I've never done that, but I do. Like, people are like, oh, you know this person? Oh, they do a joke about this. Yes, I know that joke. Or I see someone on stage and be like, oh, this is an interesting new comedian. I've never seen them before. And hear word for word a joke that I've heard before and go, oh, no. I do know who you are. That's right. That is exactly who you are. But I do. They're here tonight. If anyone wants to escape the rain for another hour,
yeah, just
for
yeah,
no
just
other
around.
Reason, hang around and check the guys out. It's a good
one. How many more shows?
Two more. We finish tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Tomorrow. Oh, there you go. These are definitely.
You took way
your
too long
chances.
To work that out for an economic. Two more tonight, carry the two tomorrow.
I find the work that you do quite interesting, Matthew. Okay, I'm going to address this because I'm Matt, you're Matthew. You go by Matthew.
Yeah, I do.
Do you... Why? You're the only...
Because everybody else was called Matthew. I didn't like them. So I called them Matt and I got everybody else to call them Matt.
Oh, so this is like a mind game.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. For me, like nobody else cares, but I find that really interesting. Because every other comedian who's a Matthew on stage, that I know at least, has gone
yes.
by Matt and that's their... Like I guess that's just it is a nickname that's implied by force almost.
Yeah.
Like in the as you're growing up, everyone is just like, ah, we're not gonna say your full name because that's two syllables, and fuck that. So everyone's just like Matt, hey Matt, how you doing, Matt? And you do just adopt it. So if you fought against that,
I fought
actively,
against, yeah,
actively
like,
fought against that.
Well, I just don't respond.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That usually works.
That is it's one hell of a way to
yeah.
secure your name. Your birthright.
Oh, I wasn't born on that day.
No.
He's the scoop. What's
interesting.
Matias.
Oh,
but
yes.
But then,
yeah.
like, everyone kept fucking it up, so everyone was like, oh, we should change it.
Yeah, anglicize it.
Yeah,
and destroy it. Yeah, so we've gentrified your...
When he didn't turn into a Latin half from. When he didn't turn into an Enrique Iglesias style. He wasn't Matias Vasquez. Like, oh, I'm just Manny, just call me Manny.
No, but he actively fought me.
That's you.
That's what I did for anything.
Solid. So I think that's what I quite enjoy. So your set the other night was really... Your crowd work is really strong.
Oh, my crowd work's weird.
Like, look, I'm not saying it's not.
Really, yeah, no, it's not weird. It's either really good or really bad and I say octopus. Shit. Me in person.
All future finances you plans to make. No, but I do find because you come up with a quiet energy, but I feel like you're really confident with the crowd. Like I think you're more confident going into crowd work that you're not sure will land
yeah.
than most people are. Because I know a lot of people are afraid. Look, you're hiding in the corner. Come out.
I understand. There's down that stand. Some kind of symmetry going on.
I don't know if that's...
And you're in the middle.
I'm off. I'm off center.
Move like to the left, like two steps.
No.
You're fine.
We as people of color are being subordinate.
Yeah.
Like
in
the
but in that case,
like,
in that case, I will.
Thank you for that. <having us. laughs> I'll try not to take too much mess up.
Please. We've talked about the revolution. And about my secret history. Dear. No, but I do find your particular brand of... Like, particular brand of brave, just super confident but unsure crowd work is amazing. It gets me every time. I quite enjoy watching it. And even though you don't... Like, because we're around the same rooms a lot, And so you, I don't know if you normally end with as many choices for jokes as you do. The night that I went, you had three locked and loaded to go, but because you did so much crowd work, you didn't get to them all.
I don't know
if you normally get that far in.
I've only been to the final joke like twice.
And so you've never done the full set?
Yeah.
So come back multiple times, see his full set. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be worth the journey. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
We'll get you back up later.
Cool.
But we'll keep the show running along. Matthew Vasquez. We will keep this running along. There's not a lot of court here, so I'm going to stay at the back here. But we will keep this running along with your vow second guest for the evening. Wonderful comic, I think you're going to get a lot of joy out of. Mr. Rob Caruana. I normally just make everything up anyway. I don't really have structured jokes, but yeah, I like to speak to you guys. Is anyone opposed to speaking to me? You don't look so keen.
Last one, you
guys. You know, he hasn't gone home. He's still back there. He's so sad. Okay. I'm with you. That did not go so well. Well, what is your name? I'll be a lot kinder to you, I promise. James, what do you do for a job? Oh, okay. I'll be honest, it's real quiet and creaky back there. So I didn't hear a lot about this dictatorship and mathematician stuff. Okay, I will move on. You don't like crowd work. James gives up on a date really easy. I didn't even have a chance to impress him. He's like, get the fuck out of here. I ordered spaghetti. I'll speak. You guys seem pretty nice. You are nice, James. Thanks for coming. But I'll ask you one more question before I move on. Have you seen any other Comedy Fest shows? This Comedy Fest? Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Any hot picks? Yes, he is fantastic. Go see him. What about you guys? Anyone else seen anything great? Anything good that they'd like to recommend? You? What do you think? Ivan Milat?
No,
he's the Australian serial killer. he's not a stand-up comic. Okay, look up an Ivan. He'll be in the guide. I'm sure he will be good. Like I said, my name is Rob Caruana. I am wearing a suit. I'm doing a show in this year's Comedy Fest. It is called Festival Comedy, in the Comedy Festival. See if you can guess how I come up with that name. Just flipped it, didn't I? Just flipped it around. I should not have those there. They don't reach that seat. I'm just going to put it back there. Basically, I thought if I named my show Festival Comedy, someone might see it in the guide and just assume that is the comedy festival and come. And so I was just hoping that that would happen. I don't know if it's going to happen because I haven't started my show yet. It starts Monday. What day is it? It starts on Monday. All I can tell you about the show, as a little sneak peek, is I have stilts. I bought stilts. I'm not a stilt walker, but I did go and buy stilts. Has anyone here ever walked on stilts? Anyone? You've all seen people walk on stilts, right? Yeah, yeah. My dad lived in a circus, right? This isn't James looks very skeptical. Like, where's this going? Do you like the circus, James? Yeah, my dad, when my parents got divorced, he ran away into the circus. I know that sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. That really happened. James is thinking, I know it's not a joke. See, now I'm doing your heckles for you. He gave me a thumbs up. He's on board. He likes me. He really likes me. No, I feel like I shouldn't have done that, because now I feel like he totally doesn't like me. Because he's doing this. My dad, he went and worked in the circus. He started as the guy that puts up the cage for the lions. Like, so you know when you watch the circus, like a guy runs in, he puts the cage up, he runs out. Well, that's what he started doing, and then he got a promotion. He became a clown, and then he got fired. So I thought, maybe I'll give it a crack, right? So I started with lion cages. No, I haven't done that. But so I'm trying to get into the stand-up scene. Because basically I want to do this as a job, but it's like, I don't know, it's going okay, but it's not really panning out work-wise, like, which forces me to have a day job, right? I've been looking for some work. Anyone here unemployed? Oh, you guys unemployed? Are you looking for jobs, or are you just rolling that roller coaster? Rolling it? Yeah, looking? Yeah, yeah. I looked around, Eric. Google, have you heard of that? Yeah, get on Google, use Google. It's pretty good for jobs. Or Gumtree. Have you been on Gumtree? A lot of job opportunities on. There was one that I saw that was like, houseboy needed. Needs to be able to cook, clean, and iron. I was like, check, check, check. And I rang the guy up, and I was thinking about doing that. Where else have I applied for work? Crime Stoppers? I rang them up, right? I was like, hey, I heard you're looking for someone. And they're like, no, we're not. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I just saw the advert. I mean, it was for a guy with a beard. I don't have a beard, but I'm willing to grow one if it'll give me some work. And so I got a job interview with them. So I could be working at your local Crime Stoppers. So I might see one of you in the future if you commit some crimes, which I hope you don't. What about you, my friend? What do you do for a job? Oh, life insurance and claims. Anyone died on you?
Yeah.
Okay, I wish I didn't go there. Yeah, how long have you been doing that for?
5 years.
Wow, how do you get into life insurance and claims?
Just make a lot of mistakes.
Isn't that how you get life insurance and claims? Yeah, okay, cool. Is that in the city, you do that? Yeah, and what about you? What do you do for a job?
I work in hospitality.
Oh, wow. Doing what?
I'm consulting.
Oh, consulting what?
Just consulting.
It's a real puzzle.
Yeah, no, yeah. I help with venues get up and running.
Ah, okay, cool. Which ones have been up and running lately?
Oh, I don't want to name names
because
I'm leaving the job.
Oh, okay. Gumtree. Gumtree. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah?
You know before when you were saying you recognize comics by their material?
Sometimes, yeah.
I'm just curious, what material of mine do you recognize me by?
You've got
the
suit.
Oh. Yeah. So I wear a suit. Is that really it? It's just the guy in the suit?
Yeah.
For the longest...
A weird kind of face blend.
I feel like I'm looking at Matt from beyond the grain. What are you guys doing back there?
Just listening.
Okay, cool. just traveled. Anyone here not... I know only you were not born in Australia, right? Anyone else here not born in Australia? Where were you born?
UK.
UK too? Yeah, did you guys meet over there or over here?
Over here.
Oh, okay, cool. I just found out there's got a bridge from the UK to Australia. No, Paris. Right? Right?
I'd love to...
A tunnel. Yeah, a tunnel. A bridge, tunnel, same thing. They're not, are they? No. As you can tell, I'm not much of a traveller. I did travel last year. I went to America, and I went to Universal Studios. Anyone been there? Yeah? You've been there? Yeah? Did you go on the Jurassic Park ride when you were there? No? Man, you've got to go. It's really great, right? I went on it when I was there. Basically, it's like the movie. Have you all seen the movie Jurassic Park? Yeah? James, you've seen it? Well, yeah, the ride is like the movie, right? So I was waiting in the line to go on it because I'm a big fan of the movie. And as I was waiting there, this like mum and daughter come past. And the daughter, she was like, how old are kids when they're that tall?
Four.
Four? How old are you when you're that tall?
About
8.
That tall?
16. Wow. I did not realize I was that old. Well, anyway, I was there, and the mum was like, no, you can't go on that ride, you're crazy, you're not going on that ride, no way, no way, right? And the kid's like, please, 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 can I? And so then she's like, no. So I was like, she can come on the ride with me. Yeah, that's a good reaction to that, because it's the wrong thing to say, right? I realize now that is the wrong thing to say, right? But the mum said, if you want to go with a man, go with a man. And I know that's the wrong thing to say, right? I know that is wrong. So anyway, so the next thing, I'm standing in line for this ride with this little 4-year-old. She wasn't four. She was old enough to walk, talk, and be very afraid, as this story will play, right? And we're waiting in line for this ride. And it was when I realized I don't have a lot in common with little girls. I was like, so you ever been to Australia? And she's like, no, is it fun? And I'm like, there's a Crown Casino. Like, I just didn't have a lot of chit-chat. But then we were on the ride, right? And we're in the front row, and it's really exciting, right? And so if you've never been on the ride, like, you go through, and the Jurassic Park gates open, and the first thing you see is, like, a leaf-eater dinosaur come out and eat a leaf, right? And when that happened, the little girl's eyes widened, and she said, is that real? And I was like, oh, God, this kid's an idiot, right? And yeah, I was like, you know, I'm trying to be a comedian, right? James, have you picked up on that? trying to do a bit of comedy, right? So anyway, I was like, I'll tell a little cheeky joke. So I said to the little girl, well, that one's not real, but that one... And James was right, I was not funny, right? I got no reaction from her, right? She was just like, kind of looked a little worried, right? And then, so the ride goes along, right, and I was like, oh man, I bombed in front of this little kid, right? It's embarrassing, right? And as the ride goes along, just like the movie, right, it seems like everything's going to be peaceful, but then it gets to this fork in the road, right? And there's one way it can go, which is sunny and bright and happy dinosaurs, and the other way is like a gate that's been torn through with claws, and there's electrical wires going haywire, right? And so the car obviously looks like it's going to go the happy way, right? Now, I'm not an idiot. I know what's going to happen. This is a roller coaster. It's going to turn and go the bad way, right? Go the bad way, right? So just before it does, right, I said to the little girl, hey, calm down, all right? This ride's going to be okay as long as we don't go, oh my God! And we went that way. Again, wasn't funny, right? And I knew that for sure this time because the little girl started crying. So I'm on the Jurassic Park ride with a crying little girl, right? And then what happens on the ride is you go up this hill, right? And when you get to the top of the hill, the roller coaster shoots down, this giant drop, and water splashes everywhere, and a giant T-Rex comes out and tries to snap at you, right? So as that was happening, right, as the T-Rex was coming out to bite at us, the little girl, in fear, right, ducked and did this, right in my lap. So I did this, because I didn't know what else to do. And it was at that moment the photo took on the ride. So I'm like, oh boy, this is real bad. The ride pulls up to the dock. I get off. The little girl gets off. She's crying. The mum is there looking for trouble, right? And she's kind of like, and she's like, yeah, see, I told you you'd cry. That's why I didn't want you to go on the ride, right? And then she's like, anyway, let's go see the photo. And I'm like, I heard the mummy ride's great. Let's go on that, right? And she's like, no, it'll be all right. Let's go see the photo, right? So we go, we're waiting there to see the photo, right? They're ticking over. Everyone in the carts. Like this, right? It's getting to the first cart with me in it and the little girl, right? And so it's ticking over. The mum's looking. It ticks over. I'm trying to distract her, right? I'm like, hey, I do comedy back home. Or I attempt it, right? And so anyway, it ticks over. There's me. There's the little girl. The mum looks at it, and she bought the photo! That's bizarre. Alright, I'm done, guys.
That's our wine, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this being recorded?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of visual gags for an audience who have no idea what's going on. It's going to be fun.
I'm sorry.
It's going to be great.
Clip up that can, you can match.
That we can match it, yeah. I just, like, from the, like, I know the joke, but from the back, for anyone who's listening who doesn't, it was obviously head in lap and arms up in the air.
But I really didn't want to describe
it too much.
The little girl's head was in my lap.
So, before we get into anything, do tell the audience about your show, if there's anything left to tell that you haven't already.
Basically, it is pretty different to this. It is just like, I'm doing like a one-man type of circus deal. I have stilts, I have a lot of crazy stuff going on. Basically, if you like improv, circus, craziness, then you probably like this show. Last year, I dislocated my leg, skip roping with a string of sausages. So if that gives you
an idea of what this
is
about,
that's
seriously the kind of show.
Yeah. It was at that moment that never had James been more right. This guy is not a comedian.
Very vaudeville.
Yes.
So I don't care if it's not true if your father grew up in a circus. That's amazing.
No, it's 100% is true.
That's the most awesome origin story for a comedian. You're just like,
and for a superhero.
It's true. But I didn't see my dad in the circus and be inspired to do this.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, he got fired. So I was like, wow, tough business.
Rough. But you still wound up in show business. That's nice. You just don't learn.
Well, I haven't wound up in show business yet. I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm in my beginner stages.
Yeah.
My beginner pants.
But so you do a lot of physical stuff, which is hard, obviously, to do on a podcast, so it's hard to sell for you guys. But I did see his show last year. It was called Silent Comedy, and it was the idea was, because I only saw it after you'd injured yourself.
Yeah, so
you had to transform your show.
Well, basically, it was a silent show. So it was an hour of completely silent comedy. Because I'm a big fan of like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, right? So it was a show like that. It was all in black and white, the set design and stuff. So it was just completely silent. Then, like I said, I dislocated my leg, right? Nothing to do with me being dangerous in the show. I just have a weird bone condition. I won't get into that anyway. My legs and arms can pop out at any given moment. Oh my god, it didn't happen just then. But it literally can happen whenever. It happened when I was skipping with sausages. It was pretty hard to explain to the doctors. But yeah, and so then I obviously couldn't continue to do that show. So I did not.
But you persevered. This is my favorite thing. I think this is like that you didn't get some kind of award or recognition for transforming a show within a day, if that.
Yeah, like a couple of hours in the hospital, hyped up on morphine. I had to write a new comedy festival. It's pretty rough.
And it sort of became like a meta show about the show that was going to be the show. But how he hurt himself, and it was actually quite an incredible feat. So I don't know how there wasn't some sort of recognition that came your way.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think you've given me too many props there.
No, I was very impressed with how fluid it was.
Yeah.
You acknowledge up top that you're an improviser at heart, and you sort of work quite loosely anyway. But regardless of that, like that doesn't mean that you're
basically the silent show had a lot of like gadgety stuff because like. That's like, I don't know if you guys know the silent comic Buster Keaton, but he uses a lot of like gadgety, trapdoor-y type of stuff. So I tried to build a lot of that for my silent show, and I'm not a carpenter or a builder, and it pretty much became a Comedy Fest show on its own. So I just told the story of me hammering myself to a board and falling off a cliff and things that happen.
Your life turned into a Lucy episode.
Yeah. And I do, because that's my girlfriend's name.
Your life is a lie.
Yeah. That's it.
Some
split.
That's it.
That's fantastic. That's really wonderful to hear. Please check them out. We won't have until next week. Dates and
oh, yes.
Where
so,
are you?
I open on Monday. I got 10 nights. I'm at the Belleville. It's a chicken restaurant, so you can get some great chicken. Like I said, I'm going to be still walking. I've only ever done that twice in my entire life. I fell off them both times. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes.
There's an amazing photo of you online at the top of a set of stairs in your stilts.
Yes.
And I've never felt more worried for you in my life.
And so you should. Not long after that is the first time I fell off stilts.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Welcome.
Do go check him out. He's always pulls out something very interesting, to say the least. But we will bring on our final guest for the show. She also hasn't started up yet, so I haven't had a chance to check out this show, but it does sound amazing. So please welcome to the stage the wonderful Michelle Lim.
Hello, Melbourne. How are we today? Good, excellent. I'm very happy to be here. I'm actually from Sydney, so I'm not from Melbourne. But thank you so much for coming out and supporting live comedy. I'm very excited. I don't know about you guys, but I think TV sucks right now. Do you guys agree? Yes. Excellent. Good. Good resounding yes. Excellent. That's good. So seriously, when I think about what we have on TV these days, I'm like, what do we have, man? Like border security, Bondi Rescue. Man, I'm sick of seeing my relatives on TV. Good. I'm not from here. I'm living in Fitzroy at the moment, which is very exciting. And I don't really come to Melbourne very much. I'm not really familiar with this place, but Fitzroy seems kind of fancy. It's got like lots of boutique shops and stuff like that. And you can always tell when something's like super fancy when the shop assistant is like really pretty and they don't have prices on anything. And like, dude, I hate walking into shops where they don't have price tags and stuff, right? Because every time like you ask for the price, it's always super awkward. So I went in and I like took a shot, like a shirt off the rack. I went up, was like, how much is this shirt? And then you find out that it's like super expensive, right? It's always expensive. It's not gonna be cheap. It's always like heinously expensive. You're like, damn man, this costs more than my face, right? You can't put it back straight away because then they're gonna know you can't afford it, right? So you gotta do this thing where you like look at the quality and like check the stitching and stuff and make it like not super obvious that you can't afford it, and then you put it back and you run away. So the girl in the shop had like this really nice beach hair. She was very pretty. And I kind of just was trying to make conversation with her. And I was like, oh, I really like your hair. How did you style it? And she's like, this? I just wake up like this. And I was like, what? Like, what? Don't lie, man. No one wakes up with hair that good. Like, not unless you woke up in a gay man's basement. Anyway, I don't think she appreciated that comment, but it's all right. So I have a couple of pet hates. One of my pet hates is when I've met someone like a bunch of times and they don't remember my name, right? Because I think that's very rude. And I'm pretty good with like names and faces, so I generally like remember people when I've met them a couple of times. And they're probably thinking like, oh, it's on me, like I'm so memorable. I'm like, dude, it's not you, it's me. Like I've got a good memory for faces and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's one of my pet hates. And there's this comic back in Sydney and I run into him all the time because he's like, you know, we're on the same circuit and stuff like that. And every single time I've met him, and I've met him like 20 times, he'll always come up to me and he'll be like, oh, I'm Michael. I don't think we've met before. And I'm like, are you crazy? Like, seriously, firstly, there's not that many Asian female comedians in Sydney. Secondly, like, who can forget this face? I mean, really. Anyway, so I met him on the Tuesday, and then the day after, like on the Wednesday, he came up to me again. He's like, oh, hey, I'm Michael. I don't think we've met before. I'm like, are you crazy? So I just punched him in the face. And then I went on stage before him. And I did all his best jokes. I'm like, I don't give a fuck, he's not gonna remember me anyway. So my parents are Malaysian Chinese. I was born here. I never learned how to speak Mandarin when I was growing up, which I kind of regret now, but I'm trying to learn how to speak Mandarin. And I actually went to Taiwan for a year to learn how to speak Mandarin. And when I came back, my friends were like, oh, Michelle, like, you made such a good choice to go to Taiwan to learn Mandarin. You know, the way China's growing and the economy, it's gonna be such a boost for your career. But I'm like, yeah, man, I can't wait till I'm just at work, like typing away at my computer, and then someone will burst in and be like, the merger with China is back on. Like, we need someone who can speak Mandarin. Does anybody speak Mandarin around here? And then I'll raise my hand. I'll be like, I can, I can. And then they'll run me down to the boardroom, and I get to meet the Chinese team. And then we can talk about what my favorite colors are, sports I like to play. I'll seal that deal. Don't worry, Australia, I got this. Got this one for you guys. So, before I go, I just wanted to give you guys like a little bit of a sample of a rap that I'm doing in my show, because my tagline is like comedy stories, hip-hop beats, and I love comedy and I love hip-hop, and I combine them both together into my show. So when I was in Taiwan, like I gave up full-time work and I was living off savings for a year when I was there. But luckily, I got put in touch with this really great women's organization when I was in Taiwan. And they basically provide financial assistance to international female students. They're called the International Nook for Developmental and Economic Respite, or just Tinder, for short. You guys are familiar with this reputable organization, that's good. So I got a scholarship there, which was awesome. And it just like took my mind off like having to figure out where my next meal was coming from, so I could just really like, you know, focus on my studies. But I was a good Tinder date. Like, I never really went to fancy places, and I always kind of like split the bill, because, you know, I don't want to be that person that just gets free food all the time. But sometimes I wonder, like, you know, what would it be like if I was a food digger? Now, I ain't saying I'm a food digger, but y'all better have some spoons with ya. Now, I ain't saying I'm a food digger, but y'all better have some spoons with ya. Get size, boy, go ahead, get size. Can we get a menu? Get size, boy, go ahead, get size. I'm pretty hungry. Get size, boy, go ahead, get size. I had some more lunch. Get size, boy, go ahead. Yo, oh yes, I'm Michelle, got a face cute as hell. I don't know you that well, but I thought it'd be swell if you could take me out to some places to eat at and bring a credit card, because you're gonna need that. Let's go restaurants, I got a list I admit to. We should go out, because I'm really into your band or whatever. I'm not really listening. You can pay attention when this dog is so glistening. And then after that, yo, let's get some iced tea. If you don't pay the bill, well, I guess you don't like me. What else could you expect when I dress up so nicely? If you ain't no scrub, holla, this one's on me. Yeah, something that you need to pay if you want to see light of day and keep dating me. So while we dating, keep that cheese grating. As long as you feed me, bake, my love ain't fading. Thank you so much, I'm Michelle Lee. Thank you.
Right, let's get through first. Your show, talk about your show first.
My show's very exciting. So it's my debut in Melbourne. I'm from Sydney. I've never done Melbourne before. And in Sydney, I did two solo shows in previous years, which both sold out. So I've taken like the best bits of those shows and put them together for my Melbourne debut.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent. That's very exciting. So look at that. You're getting the best of 2 years hard work.
Dude, two solo shows, man. At least three down. People in the audience as well. A mom, a friend, you know, like, good.
That's excellent. All right, so you are clearly into hip hop.
I love hip hop. Yeah.
Who are the two of our hip hop influences?
Who are my hip hop influences?
We've heard one of them.
Yeah. So I actually don't like Kanye that much because I think he's a bit like egotistical. I like J. Cole.
He is a
really
rapper.
Good. I know.
That's the name of the game.
That's true. I probably shouldn't say that. I like things that have good lyrics, you know, like smart lyrics and like funny kind of lyrics. I hate rappers that just like mumble stuff. I'm like, enunciate your vowels, dude. Like, can you speak properly, please?
So no Buster.
No. Yeah.
Alright.
Buster's not a mumbler though.
Buster's alright.
But he's not a mumbler.
No,
that's just terrible. His
speech. Like, you know, the young kids.
We're talking like
Boat
and Uzi and all those
guys.
It's like,
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I've been outbested.
Buster. I'm out of here.
That's fine.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, that's great. So you should talk about karaoke then.
Yeah, I love karaoke. I'm a mic hog when I go to karaoke, but yes, I love karaoke.
Yeah, someone's got to start it off.
Exactly, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Tom, to the room. It's like, okay, we're warmed up now. No, I don't think you are.
So, hip-hop, comedy, like, to me they seem logically connected because...
Yeah.
a lot of hip hop talks about social commentary, social uh-huh. backgrounds, like ideas of a particular socioeconomic area and sort of how those things influence the art form coming out of it.
Yeah.
Are you driven in that direction? Are you driven by, because you said you were driven by lyrics.
Yes.
From hip hop. So is that kind of where you want to see yourself as a comedian, or is it sort of just a, it's a major area of influence for you because you listen to it a lot and it sort of drives you? I don't know, you talk.
Yeah, well actually I never thought about it like that, Matt, but that's kind of true. So I love hip hop because I've just kind of grown up with it. Like I used to love watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when I was little and kind of that sort of thing. And I just like the beat and that sort of thing as well. But in terms of comedy, I am kind of driven by that social element as well, because when I started, I started in 2010. I did the Royal Comedy Competition, like as my first ever gig, which I didn't know was like not for first ever people.
Oh,
but anyway,
I made that same mistake.
I did it too.
Yeah. Anyway, it was fun though. It was pretty fun. But and when I kind of started, like I guess when you start, you try to do funny jokes that might be like a little bit cheap, like kind of like cheap shots at people or.
Yeah.
Or like you're making fun of like a certain kind of type of people. Or like I know like a lot of Asian people do like heaps of Asian jokes, which I don't really like doing anymore. Like when I first started, I probably did heaps more than I do now, but I don't really do that anymore. Because I don't want to make jokes that like, you know, poke fun at people. I don't want to do things that kind of bring people together, make people feel good, you know? So
yeah,
yeah definitely. I kind of call myself a feel good comedian. And every time I talk to guys, by the way, I don't know why I look at you guys. Anyway, every time I talk to guys, they're always like, oh, do you do like Asian jokes? Or like, do you do like heaps of sex jokes? Is they're really funny. I'm like, oh, I love like racial stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
that's not funny. It's kind of just like so boring. Like everyone does that sort of thing. So I don't really do sex jokes. And I don't really do that many racial jokes because it's just like boring for me to do that sort of stuff.
First, so I, as a redhead, the first well that I dipped from was hair color, right?
Yeah.
And weirdly, so I'm on a four. And my siblings would go black hair, red hair, brown hair, blonde hair. And it's a bit of an odd phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first world that I did from. And the very first piece of advice I got from a MC was I came off stage and he was like, don't be that comedian.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey,
was
that again?
That was Michael Chamberlain. I've sat by that, and I've sat by that since, and I very rarely go back to that well.
Yeah.
And for those very same reasons, like it's easy. It doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
Like as much as I can probably turn over a crowd with it.
No, man, you gotta do it for yourself.
Yeah,
not about the crowd.
Not about the crowd.
It's about the audience.
As you can tell by the responses here, it's not about the crowd.
Michelle's in the cipher just dropping bars. She's not vinylized. She's not in the cinema. She ain't got the radio playing. She's about the art.
No, that's fantastic. It's good to hear. Like, it's good. It's nice to know that it's sort of. I feel like there's a big movement in that direction of. We've seen base racial stereotype comedy, and we're sort of moving through that. And there'll always be people who do it, and like it is what it is. It's it's fine. But when there's a dedicated scene of comedians who are working towards intellectual or at very least conceptual comedy and trying to build. The groundwork here, because I feel like in this country there's not much of it, whereas if you watch a lot of British and to a certain degree what they call the alt comedian scene in the US, there's a lot of that. It sort of has got ground, but here we don't have that sort of groundwork, even just for comedians to sort of eke out a day-to-day living. They were sort of all hold jobs until we're on Triple J or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. But no, it's nice. Thanks for finding the calls.
That's good. Thank you.
Michelle Lynn, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. We'll get all our guests back on stage. Rob, Matthew. Come on back up. We'll do the final component.
Thank you.
And Marley,
I will say a pretty heavy chat. I like hip hop, and it's drew a level of that I can connect with. But we'll lighten it up a little. Alright, it's going to be awkward for the podcast then. Right, so this is the final component of the show. You can hold this one. And this is just, it's really simple. If you guys each could pick one person from the crowd who you'd like to
play for.
Okay.
And they will walk away at the end with some free tickets that we can shop from all of our shows that we will kind of put together for you guys. And we'll just get to contact details at the end. But just pick someone. You can just point.
I want James.
Man of the evening, James.
I'm gonna go with this guy up here. What's your name?
Lee.
Is that
Lee.
Because you feel guilty for turning to them and being like, so guys, what are you doing?
These assholes keep coming.
No, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Very well.
Who wants to be?
You're very good.
Yeah. I'll take this guy.
Right. The nature of the second half is really simple. It's not even a second half, it's like a second fifth, because we've got 10 minutes left. I've got some questions that I've prepared in advance. They're just silly little questions. I want the silliest answers that I can get from the comedians. The theme for today is awards, right? A very simple thing. So to start us off, obviously as performers, we'd all love to be award winners, but the comedy community doesn't have a lot of strange categories like some of the other categories. Like, they don't even have anything besides, you know, Best Newcomer or something like that. So, I'd like you guys maybe to just suggest some categories that we could get for this year's Comedy Festival Awards. I've got some examples for you, like hottest take on a news story, you know, least worst rape joke, and the What's the Deal Memorial Award for Best Observation in a Joke. Just anything you got for me, go. It's basically that of the comedy.
Yeah.
Could I win for best crowd work?
Best crowd work. Yeah. Absolutely. If I was the voting committee, you would.
Yeah.
But it's up to them.
James, do I win?
I'm
for you.
I'm playing
for you.
Shaking his head.
I'm on this just for you.
Anyone else got some suggestions?
Best Asian female rapper slash
comedian.
So starting with the letter M as the
first
name.
Can
I also win that?
You'd be so good if you asked that. But who's
female?
Right?
Yeah, one job.
And what about best audience member?
Yeah, best laugher.
Best laugher.
You would win best laugher.
I feel like James would win that.
We did this in last year's Comedy Festival. I think best laugher goes to the girl who came to one of our shows, and she charmed every comedian who was up on stage. Oh, like, I want her to come to every show that she's a big, loud laugh.
That's great.
So I think she'd win it every year if she came to festival shows. Although, when she went to the States, she got heckled by a comedian for laughing too loud. Yeah, which seems counterintuitive, right?
How do you know the backstory of these
shows? She messaged me saying, this happened, because I complimented her on her laugh.
We are very dedicated.
Anything else before we pass on? We move on? Pass on. No one's there.
We're all dying. Spanish is poking out.
Yeah.
You did not sign up
for this. Alright, no, yeah, you did. I got it in writing. Alright, so the Grammys and the Oscars have passed recently, and not all of the categories go on air. You know, they cut a lot of it out, like the technical awards and all that sort of stuff. So they've got some really obscure categories, and a lot of them they've cut away in recent years. So in 2011, they stopped giving the best spoken word album for children. Right? Very specific, very niche. Fun fact, in 2004, Bill Clinton, Mikhail Gorbachev, and Sophia Loren won that award for a recording of Peter and the Wolf.
Okay.
And they beat out the Harry Potter recording for that year. I don't know how they managed to do that, but that's and Eric Idle doing a recording of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I want to, if anyone has that, I want to hear that, because I think that'd be amazing. It's probably online somewhere. And I think it's a real shame, because, you know, like, clearly if they kept giving out this award, we'd have had some real winners, like in 2015, Steve Bannon's spoken word album, The Young Person's Guide to Cuck Hunting, would have been a real tour de force. So can anyone think of anything that might have won that award between 2011 and now? Any sort of children's spoken word album?
I was telling these guys, I listened to Carrie, the audio book read by Sissy Spacek.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Kids
gotta grow up sometimes.
Can't keep a child forever. But that's brilliant. I love that. Anyways?
Isn't that a children's book?
Well, I mean, that's just the obscure category. It doesn't have to be a children's book. Sorry.
I don't read books.
You don't read books?
I'll listen to them.
That's alright. That's alright. That's
why you're failing in economics.
Surely there are textbooks you need to read.
Yeah, but I'm not buying them.
Alright, we'll skip that one. Go Another category that they've stopped doing is best engineered recording, special effects, or novel effects. And they haven't done that since 1965, when the Chipmunks Sing the Beatles was the winner, and that's probably why they stopped doing it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of you would say that that's right, but I would say...
I believe it's Elvin and the Chipmunks.
Elvin and the Chipmunks. And by the way, they had an 80s single, like an 80s like CD, which was really good. That's how I know they
got a Grammy Award winner, though, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like they've missed out on some amazing tracks that could have won this award, like the Windows 97 Reads YouTube comments, and the Underground Smash from 2008, Autotube Khaki Party. Yeah, there's the audience. Hello. So what, if you've got any suggestions for best engineered recording, special effects, or novel effects, throw at us.
Novels. So I read Carrie.
We love a good running joke.
I really don't know.
It's tough. No, I understand.
Yeah.
I think the, okay, this always sounds bad as the title, but it's called, what's it called? The Huntsville Rapist? Which is a bad title, but it's really funny YouTube clip, so.
Okay, we will all go
okay,
home.
That's, is this recorded? Okay. Scratch that. No, it's good. Just look it up on YouTube. It's really funny.
Yes, it is recorded, and it's going to be used as
Yeah, helping you with your Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, already he's found his first
crime.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Couple of good ones, but so, sorry.
You broke?
I wrote it down. No, I was happy with it. Last one, plus we're running out of time. So, last one, Darwin Awards. We all know the Darwin Awards. For anyone who's not sure, they're given posthumously for people who have made the supreme sacrifice to keep their genes out of the pool. Right? So they've gone and killed themselves because they're idiots. Amazingly, there are five criteria, like five categories that it's judged by. Inability to reproduce. Excellence, which is outstanding stupid judgment in this particular category. Self-selection, so you have to have caused your own death. Can't have killed anybody else.
Who grants these awards? I've never heard of this before.
Oh, it's out there. There's old books of like all the recipients.
They made a movie about this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maturity. So obviously, awards can't be given to anyone under the legal driving age, or anyone who has a mental defect. And veracity. So it must be able to be verified.
Right.
So someone goes around. So I guess it's someone's job, someone's hobby, maybe, to go around verifying all these Darwin awards. But I feel like the Darwin Awards could be, because like one winner a year doesn't feel like enough for the amount of stupidity that's out there. So I feel like we could sub-categorize the Darwin Awards. And so we could have like the Steve Irwin Memorial Award for Death by Animal Interference, the Skynet Award for Best Technological Death, and the Anime Award for Death by Sexual Interference, probably by putting something in the butt. Any thoughts on that? Any like subcategories of Darwin Award that you could offer up with?
Comedy Award, Best Death on the Stage. I feel like we're all stronger contenders.
Using stilts in a comedy festival show.
Best Death on Stage.
Don't worry.
Let's go literal with it.
We will nominate you if you do not make it through this festival.
Great.
Or hold an award in your honor, I don't know.
I'm happy to know my funeral will be a happy event for all of you.
Number of answers given, and running joke, strength. I think Rob won that one. So, thanks everyone for coming out. Please do check out all of our guest shows. They are all incredibly strong comedians, and I had a little fun doing here. I'm doing my own solo show called The Face of Gentrification and Other Ideas. It's running from the 17th to the 23rd at the end of this month, end of the festival, and we've got two more of these with a great lineup of guests who you should also come and check out. So if you enjoyed today, bring a friend and if you didn't enjoy today, send someone you hate.
Yeah.
And make them suffer.
We'll take it.
Thanks, guys.
But yeah, it's really nice.